Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. This is Andrew Farley. So glad you're joining us tonight. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines, plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. Maybe you've got a question about a scripture passage. Perhaps you heard something in church recently. You're still scratching your head, wondering about it. Hey, let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. Wide open lines, plenty of room right now for you to get in with your question. Maybe you've got a personal problem going on in your life, in your marriage, with your kids, in your church. You're looking for that grace message perspective. That is precisely why we're toll-free across the United States and Canada right now, 877-655-6755. And of course, if you're live streaming with us on Facebook or YouTube, you're welcome to call in as well. It's a great evening to join us. Still lots of room right at this moment. Well, just a reminder, this is the week of release. We have our brand new book called The Grace Message, Is the Gospel Really This Good? And we're so excited about this book. It's been a long time coming. My goodness. It's been a year plus in the works, and this week is the big week of release. We're hearing from people on email and social media, people who have gotten the book and even had a chance to read it like lightning, and then let us know what they think. And we're so encouraged by you. We thank you for your support, for your encouragement. I just got to say, it's a real privilege to be able to get this book out to the world and to proclaim the depths of God's grace and to celebrate Jesus like never before. And that's what this book is all about. It's not my book. It's not just our book as a ministry. It is your book. If you're a big fan of the grace message, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, our new identity in Christ, what it means to live as a forgiven person under grace, inspired from the heart, well, that's what this book is all about. We encourage you to get your copy, get a copy for a friend, maybe someone you know needs encouragement big time. Well, this is a way to really help them out. It's called The Grace Message, Is the Gospel Really This Good? And of course, the answer to that is a resounding yes. And you can celebrate with us as we've released this brand new resource, The Grace Message. All right, let's hop out to Ohio and we'll talk with Chris. Hey, Chris, what have you got for us tonight, sir?
Hi, Andrew. I do have a question. You know, you have talked, you know, before about, you know, how Earth comes at us, and and I think it's been coming at a lot of us lately here with like all the gas prices going up and such. Yeah. And the prices of things going up. But I had a little bit of some news this week from about my medications. I probably take about, they cost around $4,500 a month. And I was getting them pretty much for nothing. And now I'm finding out I'm going to have to pay for these things, and I'm not really going to be able to do it. But, you know, of course, I got some anxiety about that right now. And I thought about this 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, you know, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So the question that I have is, for somebody like me that's has anxiety about what's going on here in my life, how would casting all your cares on Jesus Christ, how would that look for me?
I hear you. Okay. All right, Chris. Great question. A very practical question. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm willing to go bankrupt. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm willing to not afford the medicine I need. I think that's the attitude we're looking for there. Now, that's not a martyr syndrome. That's not giving up. That's not trying to, you know, look for a negative. That's not the point. Of course, you don't want to run out of money. Of course, nobody wants to go bankrupt. Of course, everybody wants good medical treatment. Those are just common sense human thoughts. But if you're asking me, how does the enemy stop hooking you with fear and anxiety about the next hour, the next day, the next week? Well, there has to be a willingness. I give up my right to know my future. I give up my right to a certain circumstance. I am willing to not have the money I need for those things. I want the money I need for those things, but I'm willing to not have that. Now you say, Andrew, why would you express it that way? Well, just think about Jesus. I mean, we're told, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're searching for the Jesus attitude in this, right? He lives in you. He lives in me. You live in him. And so as you experience this vine branches union, him and you and you and him, you have to ask, what does it mean for his mind to be in me? And why am I experiencing so much anxiety? What is it that's grabbing me? What is it that's causing me such fear? And I have to be willing to experience whatever it is that has been scaring me. You know, some people are scared to death of dying. So we say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm willing to die. I give up my right to living. I don't have a right to life. You know, as far as my humanity and my existence, I owe that to you, Lord. And so that's what we need to say and realize, that we don't really have these rights. And so the enemy comes along and tries to give us a sense that we have a right to something, that we, you know, what if this is taken? What if this happens? What if this happens? And it's always about something that hasn't happened yet. And, you know, when it does happen, if it does, the Lord, he will be sufficient in that moment. And his grace is enough for us. But we have to live in this moment, in the present. And so what God is teaching us is, you don't know about the next day, the next hour, the next minute. You don't know about these things. And so we see even in Jesus, you know, he let his requests be known to God. He said, Father, if there's any other way for me to experience this, I'm all ears. I would love to hear about a plan B. I would love to hear about another option. But not my will, but your will be done. And right there, we see that attitude, that mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So pray. I mean, don't hear me wrong. Pray, express yourself to God. Let your request be made known. And do everything that you know how to do to make sure that you have the medicine you need at prices that you can afford, whether it's Walmart and generic drugs versus some other more expensive route. Whatever it takes, do your research, get the help you need, do everything that is just common sense. But at the end of the day, we don't want to be hooked by the enemy. We don't want to be wallowing in fear. And so the only answer I've found is to give up my right to control that, to give up my right to control that outcome, and to be willing for that circumstance to happen. I don't want it to happen. I don't. But I am willing for it to happen. So that release, I give up my right and I release my expectation. My friend, that's going to encourage you a great deal when the enemy comes to the movie screen of your mind and starts playing a movie about tomorrow. And what if this happens? And what if that happens? Your answer will be, well, you know what? I'm willing for that to happen. I gave up my right to a certain outcome. And so now you can then ignore the movie and move along trusting the Lord. So those are my thoughts, Chris. I'll put you back on. Does that help some, my friend? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that gives me more anxiety than anything is some medications that help with emotional problems and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they make me, you know, make me feel normal. And without those, I can have, you know, a relapse,
yes.
You know? And
yes.
So that's kind of my anxiety right there. So.
I hear you. Okay. So then you've got some side effects and you're talking about a physical anxiety that is a side effect of a medication, and I just want to encourage you there. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor, but I do want to encourage you that you don't have to feel guilty about that kind of anxiety. You don't have to feel bad about that kind of anxiety at all, because that's chemical, and you can't control that. That's a side effect. So we've got some Christians out there, they're always trying to feel right, you know. The victorious life, they think, is always feeling right. And it's almost like we're falling at the feet of Sigmund Freud and saying, well, I guess the good, true, fulfilled Christian life is being well-adjusted and well-balanced and feeling good about me all the time. Well, Jesus never said, I came to give you well-balanced brain chemistry. He said, I came to give you life. He never said, I came to make you a well-adjusted person. I mean, that's kind of a joke because I'm sure that if the psychiatrist and psychologist were to examine Jesus of Nazareth, they would come up with quite a diagnosis for him. They would say, look at this guy. He's obsessed. He's intense. And he's got a God complex. And then they would investigate to analyze the Apostle Paul. This guy seems to have a death wish. He goes from city to city, stirring up trouble, keeps getting stoned over and over by the opposition, and all he talks about is this Jewish teacher, and even claims that he lives inside of him. And look at how intense and how determined he is. He is such a driven apostle. And so I'm convinced that if today's psychiatrists were to diagnose Jesus and the Apostle Paul, they would have a hilarious diagnosis because they just wouldn't understand them. And, you know, that just brings us back to we each get to be ourselves. There's Peter, a bull in a china shop, lopping people's ears off. And there's another Christian over there who's more soft-spoken and reserved, and they're not a salesperson. So what do we do in the church? We try to get the salesperson personality. Hey, you need to be less outgoing, or you need to be more humble. And then we take the quiet person and we tell them, you need to be out on the streets witnessing. And we scare people to death thinking that they're not okay and their personality is not right with God. And, you know, the reality is there's a diversity and a variety in the body of Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty of understanding our new identity, is we get to be ourselves and express Jesus at the same time. So I just want to encourage you as well, that physical anxiety that is a side effect from a medication, please know that that's not your fault. There's nothing you can do. You can't faith your way out of a side effect. You just need to recognize where it's coming from and do the best you can medically to treat it. So, Chris, thanks again for your call tonight. We love you. We appreciate your call, and reach out to us again anytime. All right, let's go now to Montana, and we'll talk with Paul. Hey, Paul, what have you got for us tonight, sir?
My question is, I guess it would be women in authority over the pastor or over men in the church. I have a church that I'm going to. I'm not a part of officially yet. I don't know if I want to be a part of it, officially with me and my family. There's doubts in my mind, because if they're not going to preach the whole truth of the Bible, what are they going to preach to my kids and my wife and myself as well? Because they're allowing women in the church to have authority over the pastor and over men. They're on the board, and they have a female youth pastor. And they call her a pastor, which that doesn't bother me so much, as is the women over the authority over the men in the church. So I don't know what to do. I don't know how to address it, if I should address it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to divide the church. I don't want to divide my family, but I'm concerned about, you know, they talk about they want to bring their church to something great, but how can you bring your church to something great when you're letting a thorn in, I guess? I don't. That's my question.
I hear you, Paul. Well, first of all, you know, I don't know that you need to look at a woman who's serving in leadership as being over the pastor if the pastor is on the same level as her in terms of leadership. They might be co-elders. That's what it sounds like, a pastor-elder. Well, that means the pastor is an elder. So this woman would not be exercising authority over him. She would be exercising authority alongside him. So that's something to consider in that relationship. Of course, there's males in the church, and she's helping lead the church. So I think we got to dig a little deeper into these scriptures, because that's where we're going to get our answer, Paul. So first of all, you know, can women speak in church? That's the big question, right? And there's a lot of churches that have decided no. And so when a woman sets foot in a church building, they just clam up and decide, well, I'm not allowed to be a part of this. I have to refrain from speaking. But, you know, I think that's a gross misunderstanding, because in the same book of the Bible, 1 Corinthians, in the same book of the Bible where Paul is concerned about women speaking, he also tells these women prophets, these women who are prophesying, make sure that you prophesy with your head covered. He doesn't say stop prophesying. He just says do it appropriately. He doesn't say stop talking or stop teaching. He just says do it with the right length of hairdo, because they were presenting themselves with a disrespectful outlook, sort of the prostitution type look that was rampant in the city of Corinth. If you had a shaved head, it meant you were available, a woman of the night, available for sale. And so with that in mind, Paul is telling these female prophets, and that's right, they were female prophets who were prophesying, to make sure that they prophesy with their head covered. He never told them to be quiet. So you look at the rest of the New Testament, it's pretty clear that there are some women leaders and people that are speaking. I mean, you've got in Romans, you've got the woman deaconess, and you've got other women in the church who are involved in hosting home church and leading and that sort of thing. You've even got this Junius Junia discrepancy where scribes later took a female name and turned it into a male name to hide the fact that there was a woman leader in the early church. And so, you know, you had women who were messengers of the gospel, women who were traveling messengers, women who were serving as deacons, at least, if not elders also. And so, you know, when Paul writes the young pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, what he is saying is there are women who have been influenced by a cult, and they are teaching things that are just not true. They're teaching that Eve was created first and Adam was created second. They're teaching that Eve was smarter than Adam, and that Eve was not deceived by the serpent, but Adam was. They're teaching that women shouldn't bother having children. So Paul clarifies this as he writes Timothy, and he says, you know what? Women can have a fruitful life through childbearing. And furthermore, Adam was created first, not Eve. And then Eve was deceived by the serpent, just as Adam was. So he's clarifying these false teachings. It's not that he doesn't want women to speak for thousands of years. It's just that he doesn't want these women to say these things, which are false teachings. Now, with that backdrop and with understanding that women did speak in church, and with the understanding that women did lead in some cases in the early church, and we have evidence of that, let me put that aside and just say, when it comes to church, because that's really your core issue here, you're trying to find a good church for you and your family. I would say it's a peripheral issue. Whether there's a woman leader or not, there are deeper issues. The question is, are you getting encouraged by the gospel message every week? Is there talk of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ on a regular basis? Are your children hearing about their forgiveness and living under grace and having a new identity as children of God? Are they being encouraged in the truth that we see in Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Romans? And what I mean is this a gospel-centered church? Because quite frankly, I think that's the more important question. You know, you've got lots of churches that are essentially social clubs or self-improvement clubs where everybody hears three steps to better themselves, and then next week there's three principles, and next week there's three steps, and by the time you've tried the nine things, you're exhausted. And all you've done is try to be a better husband, try to be a better wife, try to be a better citizen, try to be a better prayer warrior. I mean, those are some nice thoughts in some cases, but the gospel is about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, and what it means for us personally to be in Christ and have a new way to think and a new way to walk. So I would encourage you, above and beyond the woman issue, I would just encourage you to use that as your litmus test. Is this church really about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are they centered on the cross and the resurrection? Thanks for your call tonight. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now to Denver, Colorado, and we'll talk with Kevin. Hey, Kevin, what do you got for us tonight?
Hey, I just want to know, when you die and take your last breath of air, are you absent from the body and present with the Lord, or are you lying in the ground asleep until Jesus comes back?
Okay, there are different views on that, of course, but I'll share with you what I believe. You mentioned this phrase, absent from the body and present with the Lord, and I don't think that that's unimportant. That's pretty much the showcase, the big verse, the staple food for understanding what happens to us when we die. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, and when he says it, I don't think he's not saying, well, I'm excited to die because I'll be sitting in a dark holding tank for thousands of years. No, Paul was excited to die because he would see his heavenly Father. He knew that absent from the body would be present with the Lord. And there was no waiting, you know, in the waiting room like at the dentist office. There was no circling of heaven's airport to waiting to hear the landing gear go out. There was no dark holding tank where you would just sit. But instead, he knew, just like Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. So when we realize that, that's the great hope. And that's what 1 Thessalonians 4 is telling us. When it says we can comfort one another with these words, well, what are those comforting words? That our loved ones are already there. We know that those who have already passed on, we know where they are. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to think to ourselves, I sure hope it turns out okay for them. We know that we as believers are already seated in Christ in heavenly places. So someday we're going where we're already seated. Isn't that cool? Well, I hope you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. If you did, you want to dig a little deeper, you haven't gotten a copy of our new resource yet. It's called The Grace Message. Is the gospel really this good? It's available right now on Amazon.com. You can get your copy, get one for yourself, get one for a friend. Encourage them in their forgiveness, in their new identity in Jesus Christ, and what it means to live under grace and live from the heart.
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the grace message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.